Between now and the end of the year, the government wants to sign the contract for the rollout of rural broadband, improve measures to tackle climate change, and introduce a digital safety commissioner to police the online world. The minister with responsibility for all of that, Richard Bruton, will also have to deal with a funding crisis in RTE, which will shortly publish a review of activities in a bid to reduce costs. And that is the subject of a headline in today's newspaper, with the Mail on Sunday reporting that RTE is to sell off its Cork studio, cut pay and lay off workers. Minister Richard Bruton joins me in studio. Minister, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Justin.
We'll talk about your priorities for the coming period between now and Christmas shortly. But I just want to ask you about that story in the Mail on Sunday today first. You're the minister with responsibility for RTE. Would you be happy to stand over the sale of RTE's studios in Cork, pay cuts and the layoff of staff?
Well, I suppose the first thing to say is there's no doubt that the media environment is changing very radically. We've seen the penetration of online, and that's created a lot of problems for many broadcasts and indeed media institutions. And there's no doubt that RTE has to transform itself to respond to that challenge. From my point of view, we set up a working group set up by my predecessor to look at the licence fee, and we are acting on all of the recommendations of that licence fee review group. And the key thing is that there's a very high evasion rate, and if we tender out that, we believe we can reduce the evasion rate. So we're putting in place measures to improve resources. The government itself has put extra resources, I think 10 million last year, into RTE. But there's no doubt that in the face of this change, we do have to see RTE respond and find routes that will build its digital content, its digital platforms, make it attractive to younger audiences, and those are real challenges for our
When RT. You say you want RT to respond, I mean, one of the proposals here we're reading about today is the sale of the Cork studio. We've heard during the week about the possibility of the closure or the threat to Lyric FM. Is that the type of thing that RTE needs to consider now?
Well, I think RTE has to work out, you know, its own strategy. It has its own independent board. Obviously, it reports to BAI as well, who's a strategic body. But they do need to think out how are they going to build their audiences in the key areas where they need to build. They're losing advertising revenue quite substantially. They need to seek to shore that up. So there are challenges. And I think, you know, that is happening right across the media. So RTE do have to devise a strategy. How do they deliver public service broadcasting in this new environment?
Yes, and they need the organisation needs finances in order to do that. Now, does that mean, and are you happy to stand over a decision which would see perhaps the sell-off of studios in Cork, possibly Lyric under threat, pay cuts and job losses? Are those the type of hard decisions that need to be made?
Well, I think it's up to RTE to decide what are the what is the optimum strategy,
but
and
you
what
would
are
have
the
to
implications.
Sign off on it too.
Of course, yeah, and I think we will have to, you know, kick the wheels on any strategy that's developed by RTE.
And the type of thing that we're hearing about, how does that grab you?
Well, I need to see that in context, and I need to see an overall plan brought forward by RTE to see how they're going to scale out their future. There's no doubt that they need to build digital audiences. They need to be more accessible to younger audiences. And, you know, the evidence is that that has been difficult, and they need to change their presentation to achieve those things. But I'm not it's very clear they have their own board who divides that strategy. And, you know, we obviously will look at that when it's developed.
Yes, but I mean, in the past, decisions were made, for example, to axe long-wave radio, and there was big political pressure to reverse those decisions. So, you know, there is a political element to all of this as well.
Of course, there's a political element. I mean, we want to see quality public service broadcasting being delivered in a very changed environment. And it does present challenges when you see, for example, the very low use of RTE's traditional platforms by young listeners and young viewers. And that is a real worry for the station. And I think, you know, the strategy to build that up is one that needs to be confronted by the board. It's not just, you know, ministers don't, if you like, dictate the content of public service broadcasting. We have an independent board to develop that. But, you know, we will certainly be assessing that. And as I say, I've taken immediate action on the working group's recommendation. I will be bringing broadcasting legislation through the Dáil this term, and it will provide for the tendering out of the licence fee, so we can cut down on the high evasion rates. And we are also going to move over time to a licence fee that's independent of particular devices.
Yes, and but that's going to take 5 years to do. And that decision, according to the Director General of RTE, says it means the funding crisis in this organisation will continue. Do you have any intention of revising that decision in light of what the Director General has said?
No, I think this decision was based on the advice of a working group who looked at this and looked at the feasibility of bringing in a universal charge more quickly, and identified a lot of difficulties and recommended very strongly to me that the approach that should be taken is to tender out now in 5 years to cut down the evasion rates and do the necessary work to put in place that broader charge that would be independent of devices over the five-year period.
One of your predecessors in your department, Pat Rabbit, was on prime time during the weekend. He said effectively, by delaying this decision for 5 years, you're effectively creating a situation where big multinationals can take over the public service airwaves because you're not resourcing public service broadcasting properly in that period.
I think the reality is that there's a lot of change in the broadcasting environment, and you know, ordinary listeners and viewers are changing their behaviour, and we who are interested in seeing diverse, relevant content for Irish viewers and listeners have to respond to those changes. So we have to find a route to resolve this. This isn't about finding some pot of money. This is about responding to audience changes and finding the instruments that will win back those audiences and provide a strong, vibrant future for public service broadcasting. So I think just simplifying it to say this is about the government giving us a cheque, that is, it would be a false approach to what the challenge is.
And before we move off the topic, do you think that RTE needs to address the top tier salaries in the organisation? I'm reading the editorial in the Mail on Sunday, which carries that story today, pointing out that there's no justification for paying any frontline presenters in RTE more than what the Taoiseach earns. Do they have a point?
I think they do, and I think the Oireachtas has often voiced its concern around this when RTE have been before them. I think the response of RTE is that some of these key performers are very important in winning audience share. I think, you know, they have to test that proposition. I think, you know, if we are seeing significant transformation, I've no doubt that they will be looking at that area as well as other areas in seeking to, you know, evolve a new future.
Okay, now you're here to talk about some of your priorities for the coming Dáil term. One of those priorities is broadband. When are you going to sign the contract for the National Broadband Plan?
Well, I aim to sign it as soon as possible. As you know, over the summer there were hearings held by the Oireachtas Committee, and I am studying their recommendations, but I've been very clear that I'm not going back to square one. I'm not starting a new procurement process. A new procurement process would take 5 years. We have done a very thorough process of procurement. We now have a preferred bidder to provide to a quarter of the population a high-speed broadband that's future-proofed. I want to deliver that, but I also want to do the due diligence that your listeners would rightly expect me to be doing to protect the taxpayer and indeed the future beneficiaries, that this is robust and value for money.
Will you meet the deadline? You won't, I take it, of signing that contract by the National Ploughing Championships next week. That was the deadline you set out, I think.
No, that won't be achieved, yeah. But we will be
before
determined.
Christmas?
We will definitely be determined to deliver it before Christmas, okay. Yes. But it's we you know, there's a balance to be struck. You have to make sure that we do the proper due diligence, that we see the protections that you would rightly want to see set out in a contract before we sign. But I have confidence that that can be done.
Now, the Oireachtas Committee, as you mentioned there, it looked at this plan. It suggested that the broadband network should remain in public ownership and that a cost-benefit analysis should be carried out to look at the AIR proposal. Are you going to accept either of those recommendations?
Well, the truth is that the AIR proposal, AIR were in the competition and they withdrew. And they then made a suggestion to the Oireachtas Committee that they could do something completely different, and they say that that would be adequate. It's very clear that their alternative would not be future-proofed, would not meet the demands of the procurement process which they pulled out of. So we want to see those protections, those guarantees for people in rural Ireland so that they have a quality, future-proofed service.
What about keeping the network in public ownership?
Well, again, that would require us to change the terms on which this competition was held.
And you're not going to do that.
And that decision was made a number of years ago based on the best advice with consultants brought in to assist government, that this was a more effective way, that by having it remain in private ownership, there would be an obligation on the investors who own it to keep it up to a future-proof standard. And that was the decision on which the competition was held. So changing elements of the competition would throw open the risk that you then have to go back and start all over again, and that's not something I'm willing to contemplate.
What was the point of the Oireachtas Committee if you're just going to ignore their recommendations?
Well, I won't ignore all of their recommendations. I will look at ones that are benefit, and I've said previously that I see merit, for example, where new people are building homes, that they should be required to do the sort of deducting and the preparation to make sure that they can access the service rather than having the taxpayer fund that. I think that's a very reasonable suggestion, and it's one that I believe I can include. So where there's sensible suggestions that would improve either the governance or the management of this, I will definitely be looking at those, and I'll be going back to government with conclusions from that report.
You're also the minister with responsibility for climate action. There's going to be a carbon tax in the budget, so far as we know. The Department of Finance, I think officials there have suggested a 10 euro per tonne tax. Is that in the ballpark of what people can expect?
I think the first thing that I should say is I have introduced in June the most ambitious and most coherent plan to ever in Ireland to address climate action, and we will hit our targets and we will be preparing to contribute to the EU's ambition to be net zero by 2050. And the measures there, only one of which is the carbon pricing measure. But it is an important measure. And the Climate Advisory Council has said we need to create a trajectory to 80 euros per tonne. We will be doing that.
So you'll be outlining the trajectory between now and 2030 of what people can expect to pay every year for every budget. Is that what you're going to do?
Well, that will be for Pascal Donoghue to decide the detail of that. But we have been very clear what the destination is. He's had consultations over the summer. There is a strong feeling coming from those consultations that what we need to do is use the revenue to empower people to make the changes in their lives and to protect people who might be at risk, either because of fuel poverty or other impacts. And I think that is there's a strong endorsement of that view, and Cabinet will have to sit down to identify exactly how we will do that in the context of the budget, and that's what we're now doing.
Finally, Minister, you're planning to introduce an online safety commissioner as well before Christmas, or introduce the legislation. What powers will that online safety commissioner have, and will they have real teeth to police the big global giants like Facebook, Google and Twitter and so on?
Yes, I believe that they will have the teeth, and I think this is very timely that we move on from self-regulation of these big online platforms. I think they recognise it themselves, so this online safety commissioner will oversee codes of conduct that they themselves implement, and that will not just be what they do when something goes up, but looking also at the software that underpins their platforms to make sure that they are seeking to keep people safe, particularly children, in the context of using it. And they will have, the online safety commissioner will have the powers of notice to take down, and will have powers to prosecute in the event that those are not heeded.
All right. Minister for Communications, Climate Action and Environment, Richard Bruton, thank you very much.